Let's get started. We have a lot of ground to cover. We actually have two parshas, so I figured I'd double the amount of time, so I'll give a 2-hour shiur instead of a 1-hour shiur for everybody, if that's okay. But anyway, the truth of the matter is that many people think that Vayakav Pekure is just a repeat of the Shmoneh Tetzaveh. Maybe that's why people ask if I'm giving on Parsha or Pesach today. I said, if everyone's speaking on Pesach, what are we with Vayakav Pekure? Nebuch. No one's talking Vayakav Pekure. We should at least say something on the Parsha. So in that respect, I am going to speak about the Parsha, both Parshas, hopefully. And I probably won't get through everything that's on the sheet. We'll try to cover as much as we can. The very first main question we want to start with the Parsha is the beginning of the Parsha says, Vayakel Moshe es chodak v'nei Yisrael v'yomar lehem eila adron asher tiva Hashem la'atos osam sheish yisim te'asem l'lacha v'yom ashvid yaya lechem kore shabbat 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 l'ashem kol ha'oseb ha'malacha yumad lo osam ha'esh chomo shabbat shabbat shabbat. Then we go right into the Mishnah. Very good. Yes. Except, if you remember last week's Parsha, okay, in Parshas Kisisa, we have the exact opposite Seder Hadvarim. You'll remember from last week, you're probably still traumatized or you're still doing it. Rishon and Shani from last week's Parsha, especially Rishon, where the Parsha begins, it talks about how to prepare the Mishkan, and Masa the Shekel, and then the Kior, and then the Kano, and then the Samim. Very, very nice. Shem and Mishka. All of these things. And then, after all, at the end of Rishon, Vishon Reitzah, Shabbat, the Sosa, Shabbat, the Sosa, Shabbat, we can even ask stronger than that, which is that Truman Tetzaveh, and then beginning Kisisa is all Mishkan oriented, and then afterwards, the Gemara, as an afterthought, the Gemara meant the Torah mentions Shabbos. How come we first have Mishkan and then Shabbos, and this is Parsha, we have Shabbos and then the Mishkan? That is the question. The only difference, the only thing that happened, at least according to the chronological order of the Torah, between the Parsha of Truma Tetzaveh and beginning Kisisa and our Parsha, is one major important event, which was the Egel. What factor, what influence should that have, or does it have, on the switching of the order? Is it connected or not connected? Just by chance. By chance and arbitrary are not words we use when we talk about the Torah. Okay? It's obviously not by chance. Okay? It's not a coincidence. As the Tenor likes to say, it's a coincidence, not a coincidence. That's what I'm Kaddish Baruch Hu. It wasn't by chance. Okay. So there are three answers to this question. Okay? We're going to see three answers. Now, just keep in mind, I've actually quoted the beginning of our Parsha that I'll leave it to Hilchasa. Melech Binyan HaMishkan is not Docha Shabbos, ultimately. Okay? Now, how do we know that? Because Shabbos came before the Mishkan. So it says in our Parsha. Does that mean that in 2 weeks ago's Parsha and last week's Parsha, when the Mishkan came before Shabbos, there was going to be a different halacha? Is it true that Binyan HaMishkan would have been Docha Shabbos? If not for maybe Chetzeh Egel? That's what we're supposed to think. The only reason why Shabbos is it overrides the Mishkan is because it starts our Parsha. It says, you gotta do Shabbos and then the Mishkan. Because it was Makdim, therefore, it takes precedence. Mashma, if it wasn't for that reason, then Shabbos would have been pushed away due to the Mishkan. And Udah, we know, factually speaking, that Avodah in the Mishkan is Docha Shabbos. Right? Actual bringing the Karbanos and Shabbos. Right, we don't Shabbos Shnei Tavos Shnei Shanat Zvinim. Right, we sing it. Okay, yefeh. It's still the Shabbos. All things that we brought on Shabbos are brought. The Tommy's also brought on Shabbos has to be brought. So the question is, Lamaisa, what happened? What is the distinction between Shabbos and the Mishkan, which here Shabbos is mentioned first, and last week Parsha is mentioned in the reverse order? So let's see now three beautiful ideas about this question. The first is the Meshul Chachma. Meshul Chachma asks this question, top right. Okay, we're going to skip down a little bit, about 8 lines down, where he's 9 lines down, where he says, V'yitachin. It could say the following. Tiba'avoda, Hutra Shabbos. When it comes to Avodah Mishkan, it's Mutra on Shabbos. Why? Mishum to Mishkan, Haloshore HaKavod HaShchina Mitzuyashan. By the Mishkan, the Kavod, the Shechina, the Kavod of Kavod, V'chvodu v'atzmo is in the Mishkan. The Hashabbos Eidus Levi Olam Shashem is Baruch Baruch Ha'olam V'chitshu Meha'evet Ha'muchlat. What does Shabbos symbolize? Shabbos symbolizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator of the world. 6 days he created the world, and the seventh day he rested. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the world from nothing, he created a world. That is what Shabbos, in its simplest sense, represents to us. The existence, basically, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Back to my separations. The Ha'avoda. What does the Ha'avoda show? Mora al Hashgachas Hashem Yisbarach v'pratiyut u'mekaimo v'chol eis v'rega v'rtsono Yisbarach. Avoda highlights the fact that since that time, the original creation, there's been a continuous, and there is a continuous creation and recreation of every moment of the world due to Hashem's willing the world into existence. The constant Yitzchachus of the Olam. And that's what Avodah is. Avodah is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, continuing to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knowing and being involved in every aspect of this world after He created it. From the original moment till this moment. That's Shabbos, and that's Avodah. The original existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then the continuous existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos, Avodah. Now, the Kol Olam Hu Mitaver Mitchadesh B'Chol Eid B'Rega B'Ratzon Yisbar Hashem creates the world every single second anew, as it says in the Tefillah La'osarim Gedolim Hanachad B'Chol Yom Tamim Maaseh B'Reishit. Right, we know Hashem constantly creates the world over every second. Hashem is recreating the world again. Now, the Sham Ma'on Hashem Yitbarach Kamo Shamar Shlomo Bana Banisi Bayit Zvul Echad. And the Makom Mishkan is a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reside in. It's his bayit, it's his home, it's his dwelling. Lachain Av HaMashirim Kamo Kliyas HaOmer. Even the things that are preparatory stages of Avoda are allowed to be done on Shabbos, like burning the Omer, the new growth of the Teruah for the year. You're allowed to burn that a little bit on Shabbos to get ready for the Hakavas Omer, the Chavat Tov, Afias Shtei Alechem. You can even bake the Lechem for Shavuos. The Shtei Alechem falls on Shabbos. Dochen Shabbos. Even those things you can do before Shabbos, you can do before Shabbos. Things you have to do Davka on Shabbos, you can do on Shabbos. Even if they're not Malish Avodas themselves. And the only Mashiri Avodah, if they kept it on Friday, you could also do it on Shabbos itself. Why is that true? Now, look, this is the punchline. Aval, Binyan HaMishkan V'HaMikdash Lo Dachi Shabbos. The Kol Zman D'Lo Nivne HaMikdash Ein HaShechina Shora B'Yisrael. Until we have the Mishkan, we don't have the Shechina. U'B'Emtzalut Mishkan U'Mikdash HaShechina Shora B'Yisrael. The Kol Zman She'ein Shechina Shore Halalo Nitzcha Shabbos. But we said Avodah is Docha Shabbos, right? And even Machshirei Avodah, they have to do on Shabbos or Docha Shabbos. How come the Binyan Mishkan is not Docha Shabbos? It says like this. The building of the Mishkan itself, the actual bricks, okay, the actual building of the structure, is in order that the Shechina should come into Klal Yisrael. Until you have that though, we don't have the Shechina. Which means, okay, good mathematics, what he's trying to say is the following. Once, before we have the Shechina actually with us, so then, we can't allow you to go ahead and do Shabbos with the building of the Mishkan. You know why? Because you're doing a Voda. You're working on Shabbos. Okay? What's the protection, what's the security that we could take out in order to ensure that allowing you to do something wrong, Ki'ilu, us on Shabbos, will be okay? As long as you have the reminder that you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. Then we can do it. Before the Shechina came into the Mishkan, we don't have that, because the Shechina is not here yet. What's the thing that reminds about the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shabbos! Oh, Shabbos? So then that's number one. And building the Mishkan has to take a back seat now, because we can't allow you to work on Shabbos because we don't have that other existence, that other aspect that will keep you stark, that will remind you of the importance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because we haven't brought the Shechina yet. Meaning, Shabbos and Shechina, okay, are the same. The presence of Shabbos, or the halacha of Shabbos, which is remembering HaKadosh Baruch Hu existence, and the presence of the Shekhinah being here with us, they can be interchangeable. But if you don't have the Shekhinah, then you have to have Shabbos. So before we have the Mishkan itself, which is bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu down into the world, we're stuck. What's going to run into HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shabbos! So then Avodah, and so then building the Mishkan has to take a back seat. Once we have the Mishkan built, and the Shekhinah is in the Mishkan, okay? Now, Avodah's HaMishkan is Docha Shabbos. Why? Because if he would allow you to go ahead and be Docha Shabbos, it's okay. Why? Because the Shekhinah's here. The Shekhinah, the presence, the remembering a Kaddish Baruch Hu, we're not going to say, well, listen, while you work on Shabbos, maybe you'll like become a kofer. Then become an apikoros. Maybe you'll go off the derech. What's going to remind you about a Kaddish Baruch Hu? What do you think going to remind you about a Kaddish Baruch Hu? The Shekhinah's with us here. How can I forget a Kaddish Baruch Hu? So you have to have either Shabbos or the Shekhinah. Once you have one of those, okay, present, then we can allow you to go ahead and you be mechalel Shabbos. So go ahead and do something that's kiddush Issur Shabbos. Avodah or Binyan, okay? If you have one of those two, but if you don't have the Mishkan itself, all you have is Shabbos to remind you. Then Shabbos has to be number one, and being pushing off Shabbos, Binyan Mishkan has to be number two. Now, what happened before Chet HaEgel? What was before? That's our parsha. What was before that? That's why with this week's parsha we learned that Shabbos not doche, Binyan Mishkan not doche Shabbos. But look what he says now. Wherever you'll be, there'll be Kedusha. We didn't need a Mishkan. Shekhinah was all over. Rak. Before the Chet HaEgel, Kedusha and Shekhinah was all over the place. Anywhere you were was Shekhinah. There was still a plan for Mishkan, but the Mishkan was just like to have like a set spot to really do avodas in it. But it wasn't like we needed the Mishkan in order to breathe down HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was all over the place. So if that's the situation, and then the building of the Mishkan was equal to doing avoda, okay, after we build the Mishkan, after Chet HaEgel. And we said you can do avoda, right, you do a Shabbos once you have a Mishkan, right? Because once you have a presence of the Mishkan, the Shekhinah is there. So now everything is serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu when he's in front of you. So we're not worried that you're going to forget a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So in a time when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is all over the place, okay, then even the building of the Mishkan then, okay, which halakhically is not Docha Shabbos, but at before, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Shekhinah was everywhere, it was going to be Docha Shabbos. You know why? Because it's okay. What was our rule? Our rule is you have to have either Shabbos or Kedusha, Shekhinah, there as the number one in order to let you go ahead and make Michal Shabbos, the Bidin HaMishkan, or Avodah HaMishkan. But if everywhere you are, wherever Klai Yisrael goes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with them, and there's Shekhinah everywhere, then even the Bidin HaMishkan can be Docha Shabbos. Why? Because you have Shekhinah as the substitute Kielu for Shabbos. You have the Shekhinah, so Shekhinah is there. You can go ahead and you can build the Mishkan then. In Cain, two avodah chol tochah af in your Mishkan dachi Shabbos lachein emar Mishkan kodem Shabbos al achas shechatu beegel halalo ayu ruim lechvor Hashem izbar rak beemtzut haMishkan in Cain lo nitchei bevin your Mishkan lachein emar Shabbos kodem. Okay, let's just say it out in two lines. Okay, it's more complicated inside than it is outside. Listen one more time. Okay? It's a beautiful idea. We mentioned there was before Chet HaEgel, post Chet HaEgel. What happened with Chet HaEgel? Chet HaEgel changed the entire existence of the world. It took Shekhinah, and opposed to being everywhere the Klai Yisrael goes, and being widespread, and having to do nothing to bring it down, it was part of Klai Yisrael, it became now the Tzumtzam into one bias called the Mishkan. That was the difference between pre-Chet HaEgel and post-Chet HaEgel. Now, how does that translate for us, Lamaisa? Very simple. We have an equation. As long as you have Shekhinah present, then whatever you're doing, okay, is serving the Shekhinah. And when you're serving Shekhinah, okay, we're not concerned, or there's no problem with allowing you to go ahead and do things that ki'ilu hilchati are incorrect. Why? Because the whole thing is following Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? If you're following Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you have the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu in front of you, then what are you worried about? You're worried that the person is just he's doing something incorrect. He's not paying attention to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't have a malach and lachim. We have no problems like that. He's a Kadosh Baruch Hu right in front of him. You're not going to forget about Kadosh Baruch Hu. So now, let's do the math. Before Chayta Egel, Binyan Mishkan was Midoche Shabbos. Why? Because Shekhinah was all over. Shekhinah takes place of Shabbos. Why is that true? Because Shabbos represents the existence of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Avod represents continuing to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's involved in the world. So you have to have step one, which is Shekhinah or Shabbos. So if Shekhinah is everywhere, and no matter what we do, then even Binyan Mishkan can be Docha Shabbos because you have the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of you all the time. So you can even go ahead and build a Mishkan on Shabbos. Because everything you're doing is to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So talking the thing would have been that being a Mishkan is Docha Shabbos. Pre-Chet Egel. Because Shekhinah is everywhere. But then came Chet Egel and took away that beautiful existence of the world. Now what do you have? Now, all you have is the Mishkan. Okay? Yeah, we don't have Mishkan yet. You can build a Mishkan. So you want to build a place for Shekhinah to rest in, right? Until you have it, though, you don't have Shekhinah. What do you have to remind you of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's existence? Shabbos! Oh! So now you want to ask, so should Binyan HaMishkan be Docha Shabbos or not? Chas v'shalom! If Binyan HaMishkan is Docha Shabbos, okay, what's going to remind us about Kadosh Baruch Hu? What's going to remind us of the existence of Kadosh Baruch Hu from Isa Precious? He took the world from Yesh B'Ayin. Where's that reminder? It's gone! But after we built the Mishkan, after we have the Shekhinah, then you want to know, well, can a Voda be Docha Shabbos? Of course it can be Docha Shabbos now. Why? Because Shabbos was just substituted by the existence of Shekhinah. And in the Mishkan, that's where the Shekhinah is. So you can go ahead and do a Voda, the Makom She'is Shekhinah. Why? Because you have the existence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now you can serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu in that place. That's all considered a chelik of your avodas Hashem. Once you know that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the first level, the first floor is there, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu exists and created the world. That's the Mishnah Chachma, and therefore in a chinami, really there's a tremendous chiluk between the parshas before and our parsha hilchati wise. It was going to be different whether or not Binyan Mishkan is Docha Shabbos. That halacha actually changed before Chet Egel and after Chet Egel. And Chet Egel, that changed the whole, transformed the whole entire universe of how far reaching, how widespread the Shekhinah was. That's one approach. Second approach is the Shemin HaTov. Shemin HaTov on the second, third line, second line, end of the second line says that the Mishkan comes to show Gadlus HaAdam, the greatness of man. Why? How great man is? What's the extent of how great man is? Man can create a makom for the Shekhinah. Wow, we're great. We got a lot of power. Can create a house for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're pretty good, huh? That's the Mishkan. Mishkan is Gadlus Yisrael, Gadlus HaAdam. Mashen came Shabbos. But Shabbos limits man. Tells man, 1 second, take a back seat, sit down. She'im Hashem lo yivneh, shava melo bonav. Right? If Hashem doesn't help you to build, it doesn't give you stat nishmaya and give you the strength to build, then all your building will be for nothing. The kevet should be yom hashvi shavas vaynefash in kain ein adam lasos melacha. And since on the seventh day Hashem rested, so do you think that if you work on the seventh day, Hashem's going to want to help you and support your work that you're doing on the seventh day? Meaning Shabbos is there to remind you that you're nothing without a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're limited. You're only as good as a Kadosh Baruch Hu Siyat Nishmaya, as much as He gives you. And if He's decided that this day is so important that he should rest, Kilu, Don't you think you should rest then? You think he's going to want to help you in your work when he himself is not working? It's absurd. So Shabbos tells man, listen, you're good, but you know what? Not so great. Do you have limitations also? So what? Vimkin Ruvan. Kodem Egel, Hayashayach Lis, Pa'er, Begalta Adam. Aber kemen schon nach über egal at der gish gvul adam la tsom la bol ide gavut she ze shor shachet meaning also before he the egal there was going to be being a mishkan of zoch shabbos why because man is great and you know what even though shabbos reminds us of our limitations but it's okay for man to feel and we want to pump up man to feel great about himself. So that could even override Shabbos. And you know what? We're not concerned. Why? Because man will know his limitations. He'll know how far he can reach. On the one hand, he can build a mikdash for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But you know what? Hopefully it won't go to his head. Then what happens is, the chet egel. Whoops. I guess it does go to his head sometimes, these things. Chet egel comes from gaiva. People who have it went too far. They thought they were so great they could even do it on their own without a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the different intermediary. Whoa, we made a mistake. No good. This went too far. Now we got to switch it. Now we have to now emphasize that you know what the number one thing is Shabbos. You have Gvulot, Mr. Adam. You're not so great. Hashem is beyond you. And then we have Lech HaMishkan, which is gives the man, shows his strength, shows his koach. That can be second one. After you remember the lessons of Shabbos. Yechet HaEgel taught us that, you know what? Man sometimes is carried away with his greatness. That's bad. We have to be careful about that. We weren't so concerned before Chet HaEgel, but after Chet HaEgel, we saw, look, how bad man can go, how low they can stoop, and the terrible acts they can commit. We have to now take out a security policy. What is that? Shabbos comes first. The number one thing you have to remember is that you're limited. You're not so unbelievable. First thing to remember is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the top of the pyramid. After that, you're also good. You can do a lot. But remember your place behind the Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'ulai mitam ze gufa de ein mishken doch a shabbat kiven ale mishken ya chol avo de taud be gvul ha adam az le bin in dir la shuna de tachtonim lachen shabbat bab le tsamtsem oto sheida ki ako asa asha. And that's the reason why is the halacha taka that the mishken is not doch a shabbat? For this reason, we wanted to build in the message of the halacha. The halacha is that mishken is not doch a shabbat. Why? Because it came first. That's not the reason why. Why? What was the message being taught in that halacha? The message being taught there is that, you know what? As great as you are, you have to remember Kadosh Baruch Hu first. Shabbos supersedes, overrides Mishkan. Because Mishkan highlights how great you are, but Shabbos highlights how great Kadosh Baruch Hu is. You have to have that first. First is the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But that only changed after Chet HaEgel. Before Chet HaEgel would not be this way. But man showed that he doesn't understand, and he crosses the lines, and he messes up when we give him too much power. And I thought, according to this idea, there's a famous idea also, that very often before great events that we have in our lives, there's a Shabbos first. It's a big question. How could, let's say, Bris Mila, when I say, you have to pass the Shabbos. Why was it built in that way? I say, because God said, on the eighth day, there's a custom. Why? Why the eighth day? You have to have a Shabbos first. Why is that? So one of the beautiful ideas is that right before man is about to do something amazing that shows Gadlus HaAdam, there always has to be a Shabbos first. Why? Because it puts things in perspective. It tells man, you know what? You're about to do something great, and that doing something great might go to your head. You know, we're not going to take our chances. Let's put Shabbos in first. Shabbos is the reminder that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs this world, and without him, you have nothing. Hence, whenever we're about to do something amazing, we we have a Shabbos first. Shabbos is that reminder. And that's why Binyan Mishkan, as we were saying also, by Binyan Mishkan, that's the greatest thing man could do. Also, Bris Mila. Tikkun HaBriya. Hashem left the last thing for man. But doesn't that make me the best? Makes me great. I finish off the creation. Why? Hashem would only leave that for the most important person in the world, right? Me. So that's great. So man is now all powerful, a creator, a builder. Yeah, you know what? You're nothing without a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Take a Shabbos, take a day off, think about that, and then let's get back to work. Shabbos is that reminder. Yeah.
Shouldn't that be the case though, even after the Beis Hamikdash is continued built, the constant reminder? In other words, after Pei Ha'egel, the same concept of, you know what, man, you're limited. Why should that idea not continue after the Mishkan is built for
because in the Mishkan itself, when we have the Shekhinah.
Yeah, but that was according to the first approach. When we have the Shekhinah, so it's Shabbos with Shekhinah. So according to this approach, that man should always, remember that, he's secondary, that Hashem
so,
is there.
So you're saying maybe, so how can we allow him to do Avodah on Shabbos?
According to this Mahalik. Mm-hmm. According to the first Mahalath, it's clear, but according to this Mahalath...
Well, the question is whether or not Avodah's HaMishkan gives man that same... He's talking about Binyan Mishkan. Avodah's Mishkan maybe is different. Binyan Mishkan is that I can create a Binyan for Kodesh Baruch Hu. Avodah's Mishkan is the Avodah itself just shows that I'm subservient to Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Right.
Binyan Mishkan is I can build a place for Kodesh Baruch Hu to live in. But Avodah just says, I can serve Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, great, shkayach. That's what we want. that's what we're gunning for.
It keeps you
Keeps you in check.
It keeps you modest.
Okay. The Kliyakar has a third approach to this. The Kliyakar says, we never had a Havamina that shouts to the Gadol HaMishkan. Forget that whole idea. Not true. Elama. He says like this. Why? Hashem, when he was talking, he told us first to do the Mishkan and then Shabbos. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he tells everyone about Yaakov, says Shabbos and then do the Mishkan. This is it. Ki Shabbos ain't bokim kavod Hashem yizbarach. L'horos ki hu yizbarach chidesh olamo. V'mishkan morev kula kavod Yisrael. Shevit HaKadosh Baruch Hu kenegdam v'hishu shchinasu betocham u'macham ve'ovan ha'egam. Meaning, similar concept we just said a minute ago, but a little different. Shabbos shows the greatness of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kvod Hashem. He was the one who created Shabbos, and created it 6 days, 7 days he rested. That's all about Kodesh Baruch Hu. What is the Mishkan about? The Mishkan highlights, says the Kliyakar, that Hashem was willing to come, the Toch, Am Yisrael, Toch, Vasav Adam, and reside, even though we don't deserve that. Mechi Teisi. But Hashem was about there and came to be amongst us. That shows something very grand and very major about Kal Yisrael. Because she was of Kal Yisrael. It's a Mishkan. Oh. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas B'Yoyzer HaKol Rosh HaYisrael. Al-Kin Hiktim HaMishkan. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning the difference between Kisisa, or Truma Zitzaveh, and Vayakel, is that Truma Zitzaveh is Moshe Rabbeinu getting the Kabbalah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Tzivut. Hashem, when he talks to Moshe, he says, listen, you know what I do? I want to bring the Mishkan first. Why? Mishkan promotes Kla Yisrael. I want to think about Kla Yisrael. I like Kla Yisrael. Chaviv Alay. Kla Yisrael. Chaviv in Yisrael. But you know what? Me? B'shom B'nei Yisrael S'shavim L'Asa Shavim L'Asa Shavim B'Yisrael Olam. That'll take a backseat. Oh, but says the Kliyakar. Even then, Ukhadeshavo Yikru Lamar Shalakach Yikdimo, the Lamar Shalakach Mishkan Docha Shabbos, Al Kin Hosif Milas Ach. But even then, before Vayakel, to teach you that Melech Mishkan is always takes a backseat to Shabbos, there was a mute of Ach, which is Ach. Chilek Ach is a mute. Ach is besides the Shmor, right? That Mishkan takes a backseat to Shabbos. Even before we had parts of Vayakel. I mean, it was never happening that Nasa Mishkan was being done for Shabbos. Chas v'shalom. Why was it switched though? Because when Hashem is talking, he talks about Kli Yisrael first, and then we talk about himself second. Aval Moshe chashav shel chavod Hashem yizbarach ruvi lakim Shabbos. Hamorav kavodo yizbarach. V'achar kach HaMishkan. Hamorav kavod shel Yisrael. Mitoch, Kedim Azuy, Uvan Mela, Shashab is Dochem Rachat HaMishka. Yafema. But Moshe, when he called them to Klai, he said, Moshe, told us to throw. What did he tell them? First thing you should know is Shabbos. Why? Stop talking about the cover of Klai, the Mishnah. First thing about the cover of Klai. After that, talk about the Mishkan, cover Klal Yisrael, and then it's Pashut. Again, same message that Melechus Mishkan is not Docheh Shabbos. But even before it was even Docheh Shabbos, it's just built in the meter in the Torah. It's not Docheh Shabbos. So it's not the halacha. What's changing here is not halachically what was and what's not. That's not what's changing here between the last parshas and this parsha. All the time, Melechus Mishkan was never going to be Docheh Shabbos. What changed is who's the speaker. And what's being talked about? Hakadosh Baruch Hu talking to Klal Yisrael. Hakadosh Baruch Hu promotes Klal Yisrael. There first. Let's highlight what's great about Klal Yisrael. The Mishkan. Myself, I'll take a back seat. And Moshe says, "Yeah, that was very nice of you, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Very humble of you. But you know what? We are talking about these same two messages. I want to make sure that the Klal Yisrael understand that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is number one, and they're number two. Not just out of cover, but out of the fact that that's really the most important thing. They should remember their place." And this is the assault which we've mentioned in the past. We mentioned the Parshas Bo, and it's probably appropriate now that we're heading towards Pesach, just to mention one more time. Okay, this is we talked about the Mashkov and the Mezuzos, Parshas Bo by the Dam. Okay, the two sides and on the top highlighting Hakadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, the Zchus Imos and Avos, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu on top. And we all talked about Chag HaPesach and Chag HaMatzos. Okay, the Torah calls it Chag HaMatzos in honor of Klal Yisrael, and we call it Chag HaPesach for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, and this is a constant theme. I mentioned to you many times, this is a constant theme running through the Torah, that in the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu, and as the Yisod in relationships in general, okay, a person should not highlight or promote themselves. That's not a healthy way. If each person is speaking of themselves all the time, you can be sure this is a relationship doomed to failure. Because everyone is only in it for themselves, for their own ego, for their own co-op, their own strength. That's a bad relationship. The best relationship is when each side is promoting the other side. Whenever they're talking about the two of them, themselves and the other one, they put the other one first, and themselves second. And that is the message we get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe, Kohen Tzadikar, in this point in switching the Melechus HaMishkan and Shabbos. So those are the three approaches. Okay, each one with a beautiful message. In the end of the day, okay, for an all in, the message in the end is that Melechus Shabbos, okay, Binyan Mishkan is not Docheh Shabbos. Avodas Mishkan is Docheh Shabbos. The question is, what was the Havamina and what was the Maskana, and what was changing, or was there anything changing through the Chayte Egel in the middle? In the end of the day, Kadosh Baruch Hu, the message we want to get is that Kadosh Baruch Hu rules the world. And we have to take a back seat. We have to realize that we have great potential, we have great capabilities, but only to remember that it all comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We can't forget the source of where we get all our koach from and where our relationship has to be focused to towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu.
So what would
be our birthday going to do with that? Nothing. It doesn't mention anything here, that's a factor. Okay. On the bottom here, the Torah Daf, we'll try to move much quicker now, it's a long time. Okay, the Torah Daf on the bottom says, Aruch Kara Hashem B'Shem B'Tzalel Ben Uri Ben Chulam Atei Yehuda. The Chasam Sofer says, on this Pasuk, that a person has three names he's zochet to. The name that his parents give him, the name that he's known by his friends, and the name that a person buys or earns for himself. As he says here, Betzal on the third line, Betzal says, Ru Kara Hashem B'Shem Betzal Ben Ur Ben Chur, Betzalel Ayrish Kana Shem Tov Zacha Shiyatsim Lechza Mishkan. He was chosen because he had a great shame. Now, why is the most important of the three names the name you make for yourself? Why is it not the name that your parents gave you? Why is it not the name that the people know you as? Those are also good names. Why are those not as important as the name you make for yourself based on your actions? So he says, because Mishalech B'Derech Hashem Rak Machmash Lo Letzar Avosav Yifrok Ola Torah B'Mot Avosav. A person is only serving Kadosh Baruch Hu because of his parents, the name his parents gave him, i.e. the worship he has with his parents. So what happens when the parents are no longer around? No more yadus. All finished. Why? Because you're only doing it for what you, the reputation of the family, right? So fine, I'll be from. But if you don't feel like it, you don't internalize that feeling. So then it's gone. And what about the name you're known as amongst your friends? Yeah, what happens when you're not with your friends anymore? What happens when you leave that little cocoon, that little sviva that you have? What will be then? If all you're known as is what your friends are mashed you as, so what happens when they're not around? So you can't just live off that. The only thing you can really live off, and then we have the last four lines, it says, Shem shekana la'atmo ayidei pu'olotav u'ma'asav v'ayidei hakaras Hashem Shem ze yakum le'olam v'al ze amar Shlomo tov shem yishem en tov haino Hashem shekana la'atmo v'zeu kavanas hakosav gan ra'u kara Hashem b'shem yan kana b'tzal Hashem tov la'atmo v'chein b'achar Hashem bo. Meaning the name you make for yourself means based on what you internalize as your avodas Hashem, what you're doing in this world, what your objective is, what and what your actions are. Your actions speak louder than your words, right? What are you? What are your actions like? What are your deeds? What are your ma'asim? If that's good, if that's the name you have, that's embassy. Then wherever you go, you have that. But the name you have from what your parents gave you, okay, not just the name you have, the literal name, okay, but the continuing to do because of your parents and continuing to do because of the peer pressure, those are much more situational, locational to a certain time period. What will happen when that's gone? Who knows? We don't want to guess. The only thing that's really emistic is the name you make for yourself. What you are, who you are through and through. That's what you have, and then wherever you go then, you're okay. And that's what Hashem says here. I chose Bezalel because of his shame. What shame? His shame. The shame that Bezalel made for himself was why God chose him to be the one to go ahead and make all the kingdom of the Mishkan. And I just wanted to say in both directions, I thought also it says that the name you have for your parents, okay? So a lot of times we do a lot of things, okay? Just for the parents, make them happy, make them feel good, okay? And I think what's been said here is that not only are you doing it for your parents, but another message being said here is that you can only ride the coattails of your reputation, of your shame from your parents or from your community so far. Meaning, you don't think because you live in X place, or don't think because you have X name of a family, okay, then you're set. Oh, I'm okay. I had a shame. Shame my parents gave me. Shame of the family. Shame of the community. It doesn't make you a gabra. What makes you a gabra, makes you a real person, is your shame. You can only ride reputation so long. Ride everyone else's coattails. At some point, you have to stand on your two feet. You have to make a name for yourself. And that's the MS. That's who you really are. That's what you can be proud of, and that's what people will ultimately know you as. And Mr. Shem, that should be a name that's the shame will defend. That's why the Toh Shem, the greatest of the name, of all the Keter, Keser Shem Tov Yalal Kulam. Right? Shosh Ketarim? The Keser Shem Tov Yalal Kulam. Why Keser Shem Tov? Keser Shem Tov is the Keser that you make for yourself. The great name you give yourself is really, ultimately, the most important thing for us as people. Okay. Look at the middle of the page, Torah Das again. Another beautiful idea. They brought the Mishnah to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Pasuk says, also, Hadal Rusha Tisal Yom Achron. The Medrash asks, what's the Yom Achron? What's this last day? So the Medrash says of great Mashal. The Medrash says that Matan Tchar Shal Tzadikim Tzuk Olam Haba. A Tzadik's Olam Haba is all set for him, it's put aside. And I'll translate outside. There was a story of Rabbi Abau that he was taken out of this world and they showed him everything, his whole chilek in Olam Haba. And he was happy. And he said, in the quote, Ani amarati l'rikya gad, I thought I was just working for nothing. Achein mishpati et Hashem. But now I know that it was all really just, that Hashem was really honest. That's what it means, he was happy on the last day. Asked him before Hashem, what's going on with Rabbi Abau? they really think that all the Torah mitzvahs were for nothing? I thought I was doing nothing in this world. But you know what? In the end, I talk at Olam Haba. Very nice. What, did you really think you were doing nothing? Why were you doing that? Rosh Baruch Hu was Matia, that if you do mitzvahs, you get Olam Haba. What was he thinking? I'm not saying he was doing it for that, but he thought I was really just doing empty work? Nothing important? Mitzvahs and Torah I was doing not worth anything? What was he thinking? Not what he says. Beautiful. But he says that we learn in the Shulchan Aruch Simei Shlamet Aleph, Shekol Maaseh 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 Kashel Adam Shechini Yod L'Shem Shemayim. Everything you do has to be L'Shem Shemayim. Whatever you're doing, in your work, when you eat, when you drink, everything you do is for L'Shem Shemayim. Oh. If you do all your other actions, your mundane actions, in order to mekayim Torah, in order to be a greater Eved Hashem, to learn better, those are also a chiluk of Torah. So Rabbi Avraham was saying was, you know what? Rabbi Avraham says he was a big rich guy. He did a lot of business also. But it was all for Kadosh Baruch Hu. He always had a mind of Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Avraham was saying, you know what? I knew that my Torah business I was going to get a little happen for. I thought I would have a small chiluk, because you know what? And when I was working, I didn't really think I was going to get credit for that. And we got the Shema, I looked at the Shema, I said, wow! Look at how much Olam Haba I got! That wasn't only my Torah mitzvahs. That was also a lot of other time I spent doing jobs and working and helping this person. All the things that I was not always taking Torah mitzvahs about. Meaning, I am seeing the emes. I'm seeing the kiyum of this idea that when you do things, l'shem shemayim, even things that are not Torah mitzvos, but they're all with the tachlis of being a greater Eved Hashem, doing greater kiyum Torah, then even your business and your masa matan and your eating and your drinking will give you Olam Haba. Because those are all a chelek of Torah. They're all a hashem. They're all a kiyum of making you a greater Ben Torah. So then everything is neshem. And that's what Rav Avraham said. That was what Tishak Yochanan, he was laughing. Wow! This is amazing stuff! That was what was so impressive to him. Let's look inside. He says, 6 cents in the bottom. Allah the most when he was about to die. For all the things that he did, he's polite, couldn't believe it. He thought that his actions for this world were for no reason. Those extra actions. But then he was really happy that he saw that he even got schar for those things. He said, wow, Hashem, everything Hashem does is just and proper and correct. That's only b'tnai that I mean, all his actions, though, are really the Shem Shemayim. They're really for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Sorry? I don't know. It's a medrash on the pasuk, though. I don't know. Maybe it's a Mishkan HaMoshe. Don't know. Just an nice idea. Okay. Last point. There are several distinctions in the Sforno between the Mishkan and the Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. Okay? And it's a very, very beautiful idea. The Sforno is comparing and contrasting the intensity of the Shekhinah that existed in the Mishkan versus the Shekhinah that existed in Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, and Bayis Shlishi. Which one was the highest? Let's forget Bayis Shlishi right now, because we don't know about that. What was the highest of the three? Mishkan, Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni. What would you guys say? Which had the greatest level of Kedusha? Bayis Rishon. Anyone else? What? Mishkan? Okay, anyone else? That wasn't Bayis Sheni. Okay, good. So the answer is, the Sforno says, yeah, really it was the Mishkan. How come it was the Mishkan though? So listen to the way he says that. We'll read the whole column here on the left, and then we'll put it all together. It says, Shema Tomar, maybe you'll say, Avat Sivram Avatel Sukuyan, maybe eventually the beams of the Mishkan will wither away, the wood beams, and there'll be nothing, it'll be gone. Tamlor Ate Shitim Omdim. Omdim lo olmul melomim. They'll be exist forever. The Gamchi Lona found the bottom and the Aroidman. And in the Mishkan, none of the Mishkan's kelim fell to the enemies. Al Hefer, mashikol midas shlomo v'kelov. Kumavur b'churim bayit rishon aydein muzad aradam. Shalonit kar sham davam inyanei mishkan moshe rabbeinu alav shalom. When the things were taken from the Beis HaMikdash, those were all things that were made for the Beis HaMikdash. But the Mishkan, the things that Moshe Rabbeinu had made for the Mishkan, were not taken away. They were left intact. Why was that? The Sipir, Ma'alot Zeh Ma'amishkan, what was special about the Mishkan? Why was it Nitzchi? And why was it not, did it not fall in the enemy's hands? I'll tell you why. Number one, it had the Luchos HaEdus. Allah. Number two, Asher Pukar Api Moshe. Number three, Avodas Levim Biyadi Tamar. And number four, is all done on David Tzav and Rabbi Chulmat Yehuda. Kol Rashei Umanei Melech Mishkan Mekilam Yuchasin Tzadikim Shebedor. Everything was done by Tzadikim, Moshe, the Tzalel, Itamar. Everything was great. It wasn't Stam people. They didn't hire people from Lebanon to come and chop cedar trees and come and bring build a Mishkan. No, everything was done by Tzadikim. Let's continue now. Kol Azahav, why does it mention here how much gold they had? It wanted to tell us how much gold and silver came to the Mishkan. Why is that important? Shahayad davar mu'at me'od. It was very small. It was much less. The reason it's mentioned is not to show off, it's to highlight how little the Mishkan had versus in contrast to the Bayis Rishon. The Yotir men ha'osher yab Bayis v'nihor, the second Bayis Rishon is greater than that, v'in kol zeh, Yotir hitmid marek kvod Hashem mishkan shamoshe, v'ma shehid v'migdash Rishon. V'lo nera klav min d'sheni. U'bizeh hora, underline, highlight. This is to teach you, shelo kitzvat ha'osher, the gold of habinyin, yeyusiba la'ashrot ha'shchina b'Yisrael. Ama rotza Hashem ziraya v'ma'asen l'shachno b'socham. It's not about the gold and silver in the building. It doesn't matter how big it is, and how rich it is, and how expensive the building is. That's not going to bring the Shekhinah. That doesn't impress the Kadosh Baruch Hu. What impresses the Kadosh Baruch Hu is, who were the people who created that makom? Those people infused with Kedusha, with specialness. That's the place Hashem wants to go to. Not because it's very expensive, and it's worth a lot of money. That's not important to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the Torah Gelada would emphasize how little money went into the Mishkan as opposed to what went into the Beis HaMikdash. And here's the icing on the cake. Okay, in the next form he just says outright that there was more Shekhinah in the Mishkan than in Bayis Rishon Bayis Sheni. And then the Chizkuni finishes off by saying, Tan Hasam. And the second Sotah says, Mishanid the Beis HaMikdash HaRishon Nignas O HaMoed Es Krasav Krasav Rechav Amandav Adonav Ve'echon. Where are these things from the Mishkan? If they didn't go to the enemies, where are they? Amram Chizda Tachas Mechilos Shel Heichal. You know where they are? They went, they sunk in the ground, and they are in the tunnels, the underground channels, right under the Heichal, the Kodesh, and the Kodesh possession of the Beis HaMikdash. You'll find there the Mishkan's Kalim, the Mishkan's wood that was there. Why is that important, Boisai? Who cares? Why go to such trouble? A beautiful idea. Beautiful. And it's true that the Mishkan was so much more holy than the Beis HaMikdash. So you know what? You see this big, beautiful building. Hashem's not impressed with that. He doesn't care about that. So what was important? What was important was Kedusha. So they put the Kedusha right under the floor of the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedashim to show us, you know what, even we understand what Hashem really likes. And you know what? How strong is the building? How strong is the building? Only strong as the foundation is, right? How strong is the tree? Only strong as the roots are. How strong is the Beis HaMikdash? Only strong as the Mishkan. It nourishes from the Mishkan, because the Mishkan is underneath the Heichal. To teach us that the Kedusha, what was there, we need to get from that. We need to be yonik, to nurture from that Kedusha. If we really understand what's important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what's important. It's not about the gold and about the silver and about the big, beautiful building. That building can get knocked over easily. It's no big deal. But the foundation that it's built on, that's Hashemus. That's what Hashem wanted, because that place had two major mitzvahs. Number one, it was all Ayin Tzadikim. And number two, it wasn't so flashy. It wasn't so expensive. It was just pure. Pure, tahar, okay? Kedusha, Tzadikim. That's what Hashem wants. Sanur. Sanur Kedusha will bring the Shekhinah. Remember Hashem, this is a great idea, a great yesod to remember that sometimes we see great things, very flashy, very big, very important. You know what? We go like this. It's not much fun for it. The question is, where are your roots? Where is your foundation? Where is your yesod? The yesod is good. The yesod is kadosh. That's where it'll be. And this Mishkan, this little traveling tent that Kai Yisrael had in the Midbar, this is the Kedusha. This is what we have to remember. This is what impresses the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and not big gold and silver buildings. Have a great job. Have a great minute.